Our lesson tonight is, do you exhort? Did you notice in the reading something that's mentioned there? It talks about the different abilities that we have that are given according to the grace of God. It talks about those who teach and those who lead and those who give. It even talks about some of those New Testament gifts that were given. But it also says that the one who exhorts, to exhort with exhortation. To give forth that energy and that effort in exhorting. And I thought about this question for us to study tonight. Do you exhort? Do you have that ability? Do you use that ability in service to God? When you think about, well, what in the world does that mean? What is an exhortation? What does it mean to exhort? What are we talking about? And you might consider some of the definitions that I looked at from different dictionaries and places. And to encourage, that's one word. To entreat, to implore, to urge, to beseech, or to invite. This word is very significant, I think. I think it impacts preaching a lot. I believe that preaching is not just sharing information, but it's a word of exhortation. It's a word that encourages and urges the hearer to obey. It's not a college lecture where there's information and there's going to be a test later, so you better take notes. Now, many of you take notes, and I appreciate that because that shows you're interested in Bible things, but preaching is to be of a different nature. But you know, it's not just the preacher who exhorts. We have this ability that God has given us to offer exhortation. And tonight we'd like to look at three ways in which we might give exhortation to others. I won't say it's the only three, but it's three powerful ways that we can encourage and entreat and implore and urge and beseech and invite others to do things that they need to do. And so we'll talk about that as we study along tonight. This word, it occurs a lot of times in Scripture, and this study is not what you would call a concordance sermon, but looking at how the word is used in different contexts was really interesting for us to consider, I think. Would you consider, first of all, that when you exhort, you might offer a word of exhortation to someone to do good works? We see that in the Scriptures as we look at that. We see there in Acts 14 that as they're getting ready, Paul and those who would accompany him are getting ready to go out on another preaching trip. It says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. When you think about this, here they had gone through those cities, now they're going back around, and they're going to go back and say, you've started out, there were converts made, there are those who are young in the faith, and they have just begun in serving God. They're going to go back around and say, keep on doing that, don't give up, be strong and be faithful, and offer that kind of word of exhortation. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. There may be difficulties, don't allow that to get you down. Don't let it make you downhearted. Strengthen those souls. Exhort them to continue. Sometimes it may be that there's someone in the assembly here or some Christian you know in some place that just needs a word to say, hey, keep going. Don't give up. Don't allow yourself to get drugged down. You need to be built up and strengthened and encouraged and keep going. Exhortation. We might offer someone an exhortation and say, keep doing good things. You're doing good. Keep it up. Don't quit. Do you exhort? You might consider in Acts 15, and you know the scenario there with the controversy that's being discussed. What we read about Judas and Silas themselves being prophets, they exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. There's two words in both of those scriptures that go together. Exhort and strength. Exhorted and strengthened. A word of encouragement, A word to urge someone on, to try to help them to keep doing the right things. The word to say, well, you've done this much so good. Why not try to do some other good things in the kingdom of God? Some other acts of service. Some other good works. That goes a long way, according to the scriptures, towards strengthening the brethren. In Acts 18, we read there about a man named Apollos. Remember Apollos? He was mighty in the scriptures, and he was an eloquent speaker, and he had to learn some things. But now here he's going to go out, and he's going to leave and go and preach to other places. And there were brethren on the other side. They received a word of exhortation. And this is speaking of Apollos. It says, when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Here are these Christians and a new preacher they haven't seen before. They don't know. He's coming around. And the word is, he's coming to you. Treat him right. Receive him. He can help you. And when they received him, what happened? They were stirred up, and it says he greatly helped those who had believed. They just needed a word saying, hey, I'll use my 21st century poor grammar. Hey, there's a really good guy coming. Receive him. Help him. Listen to him. He can be of service to you. He can help. And so they were stirred up to do good works. Consider also in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 16 and 17. You know, there were some times that Titus was a little bit apprehensive about a relationship with the Corinthians. But here in this second epistle that Paul writes, he writes in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 16 and 17, but thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. So what does Paul say? He says, I told Titus, these people could really use your help. You could do a good work at Corinth. You ought to go. And Paul wasn't saying, as an apostle, I'm telling you and ordering you to go. He's saying, you could do a good work. You could, if you would go take this on, you would be better, they would be better. It's a win-win. Well, he accepted that exhortation, and even more than that, it wasn't just because Paul asked him. He said, I want to go do this. That's what exhortation does for us. Someone says, how about doing this good thing? And you think, well, maybe I'll think about that. And here, pretty soon, it goes from being their idea to being our own idea. So I think I will. I think I'll serve God in that way. Do you exhort? Do you look for ways to look around, encourage someone, to urge them to use their abilities and their talents, to tell them when they're doing a good job, and to try to get them to increase that? It's something I'd say that each one of us can exhort with exhortation. I thought also about 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. The Christians there were committed to giving. We read about that in 1 Corinthians. But as Paul writes this, they're getting this gift ready. He doesn't want it to be unprepared or for them to be embarrassed when he arrives to assist with getting this gift to the needy saints in Judea. He says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. So Paul exhorted, he encouraged some people to go ahead and to get that ready and to exhort them to be prepared for the work that would be done in their giving. You might look at the work we are able to do here and say, well, we're doing pretty well. I'd agree with that. I'm impressed with the work this congregation does to God's glory. But could we be exhorted to always be ready, to always be prepared for every good work, even in our giving? I think so. And so when you think about this, consider an exhortation to good works. I'd like to talk about another kind of exhortation. Sometimes we can exhort others to obey the truth that they know. There are those who sit in an assembly like this, and they hear the truth, and maybe they've never obeyed the gospel. And you might be the one who could encourage them and say, have you ever thought about this? Could we talk about this? Have you ever thought about your soul and how important it is to obey the gospel? To offer them a word of encouragement to obey and to do what God's word says they need to do. Or when we hear the truth being taught, we've got a gospel meeting coming up with J.R. Bronger, and he preaches, and we examine that according to the word of God. And if we find that to be so, to be the truth, to tell one another, say, hey, did you hear what J.R. said? We really need to do that. We need to be working and serving God and obeying the teaching of the Word of God, not because J.R. says it or Paul says it or Mark says it or John or Bob or any of the other men who might stand before you, but because that's what the Word of God says. You need to obey the truth. Would you look with me in Acts chapter 2? The gospel is being preached. It says they're told to repent and be baptized. The preaching did not end there. One chance and they're done. It says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. He said, you're lost. You need to obey the gospel. You need to obey the truth. You need to do what the Word of God says. With many other words, that's what the apostles were doing, testifying and exhorting people to obey God, to turn to God. We need to be offering up words of exhortation. Sometimes I think we give people so many chances to hear, and then we give up. And sometimes the setting just becomes right, or the right person has the word of exhortation and can help a person who's not living right decide, you know, I do need to obey God. I do need to do what's right. Their urging has caused me to think about my soul. In Hebrews chapter 10, we often talk about this passage in regard to our attendance. But the scripture says here, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. When Christians come together, we ought to be saying, we need to be serving God. We need to be faithful. We need to be doing what's right, obeying every truth of God's Word. It's part of the purpose that we assemble. We consider one another. We stir up love and good works. And we exhort one another, saying, don't give up. Keep faithful. Keep obeying. Do what this book says. Live how this book says that you ought to live. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll look at a couple of passages from this chapter. But it says there in verses 2 and 3, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. Paul says, we tried to teach in another place. It didn't go as well as we had hoped. We came here, and guess what we did? We exhorted you as well to obey the truth of the Word of God. Not error, not uncleanness, not deceit. Exhortation to obey the gospel of God. Later in this chapter, in verses 10 through 12, he says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you should walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Here he's telling these Christians, obey what God has said. Do what God's word has said. Walk in that worthy manner. And he spoke to them like a father speaking to his child as he gave that exhortation to obey, to do what's right. To say, you need to be doing exactly the truth to obey the word of God. Look with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. The scripture says here, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I think about a hard heart. I always think of Pharaoh. He didn't want to obey God. I think about how my heart could be hardened, and I don't want to obey God. And so how can I keep me from being hardened? How can I help you? And how can we help one another from being hardened and not wanting to do what's right? Exhort one another daily while it's called today. Share messages from the Word of God. Share truths. Speak to one another in these kind of good ways. So we don't fall away. We keep obeying the truth. And so, I promise you three things. We ought to be exhorting others to good works and exhorting others to obey. Let's talk about one that's a little more difficult. We need to be giving exhortations for those who need to make correction in their lives. We need to be urging that, encouraging that, pushing that in every way we know how, to beseech them, to invite them, to provide a path and an opportunity for them to make the correction that they need to make in their life. When I think about powerful Bible preachers, remember John the Baptist? Remember that he was that repent or perish, that preacher who would, we call him that turn or burn kind of preacher. Powerful message. Out there in the wilderness, looking in an odd way, the unusual clothes, the unusual diet, and preaching these bold words to prepare for Jesus to come. When we read about John, it says in Luke chapter 3 and verse 18, and with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. John taught people to repent, to change, to make the changes that they needed to make. It may take a little bit of courage to exhort someone to a good work, to say, you know, I think you would do a great job at, or I'd like to see you continue in some of the things you're doing. That might take a little bit of courage. And to tell someone, well, we need to be obeying the Word of God. We need to be just doing what's right and listening to that truth. That takes a little bit of courage. It takes a lot of courage to talk to someone and say, I'm so sorry that you're living in this sin. You really need to do what's right and quit the wrong. You need to make the correction in your life. That is sometimes a scary or hard thing to do. When you're getting ready to offer up that word, it may give you an upset stomach, or you may have trouble sleeping the night before. But we need to exhort people to make the corrections that they need to make in their life. That's part of the nature of preaching in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. We all want to find those words that are just perfect for the occasion. I think the scripture here would tell us sometimes we just need to say the words. Whether it's a perfect occasion or not. In season and out of season. And just because you teach someone that they need to turn away from the wrong in their life, and they reject the teaching or the word of exhortation, and they say, leave me alone, or I don't want to talk about this, or just forget it. Just because they say that to you does not mean that you did not do the right thing. That was a whole lot of words to say, God gives the increase. You teach what's right. You do what's right. You say what's right. So that they know. And those words may come back at another time in their memory when they're ready to make corrections. And don't give up. It says to exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Don't give up on people. I'll chase a rabbit for a minute. The Scriptures teach us in plain words that there are times that we need to withdraw from people. And that means that our social relationship with them is very limited, according to what the Scripture says. But that doesn't mean that we can't teach them. To offer them a word and say, I sure wish you would come back. I sure wish you would be restored. I sure wish you'd be faithful to the Lord and do what's right. Exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. When we have to do the withdrawal, it's not a line in the sand that says, well, we're done with them now. But it's simply an obedience to a command that God has given us to do. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul writes to these Christians and he says, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but they're busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. These gossipy people don't have enough to do. He says that they're walking among you, they're not behaving themselves, they're out of order. Paul says we command. So we tell them the right thing, and we exhort. We not only say, you shouldn't be doing this, but I want to urge you, I want to encourage you, I want to help you in every way I know how not to do that. But instead to do what's right. Don't do the wrong, do the right, make the correction in your life. When Paul wrote to Titus, he speaks to Titus about the work that he's doing. He says, holding fast the faithful word as has been taught, that he, and fill in the blank here a little bit, he's talking about the qualifications of elders. He says that elder ought to be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. It's interesting, the words he chooses there. Exhort, you urge them, don't teach these false things. And then, if that's not received, to be able to convict. Another place would say that we need to be able to stop their mouths, those who would teach false things. When we look at what Jude records for us at the beginning of that one chapter book in verse 3. He says there, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He's going to go on to talk about the terrible false teachings that were involved there. He says, you have to stand strong. They need an encouragement to stand strong against the errors, not to allow themselves to be drawn in and to practice those errors, but to stay clear of them. And if they were drawn in, to make the corrections necessary. So tonight, the question is, do you exhort? He who exhorts needs to do it with exhortation. We have the ability to do that. Do you offer to others encouragement to good works that need to be done. I know that many of you do. And we need to, I'm going to encourage you to increase in that, to do that more and more. Do you urge others to obey what God's Word has to say? To be obedient to the truth. If you notice that maybe that they need to be restored, or maybe that they're never obeyed the gospel, here's something you need to do. Do you offer up words of encouragement? Are we courageous enough to even talk to someone who's living unfaithfully and to give them a word? I think I know why we don't sometimes. And when I say we, I'm including myself in that. I think I know why we don't sometimes. And I wrote down several words that I thought about. Sometimes we don't care enough. Sometimes we don't want to take the time and the effort to help those who are in spiritual peril, or to look out for their increase and their growth. It involves work and courage. It involves truly being concerned and selfless toward looking at others. It involves having a humility that realizes that sometimes we might feel like Moses. I can't speak very well, or I don't know what words to say. And just trusting God when He gives us work to do. The Scripture would even tell us to use caution and to think about the right words of exhortation to offer. But I think of you all and of myself that we care enough, and we will sacrifice our time and our effort and our work. We will be courageous enough and concerned enough that we'll think about others more than ourselves, and be humble enough and with caution be able to offer up exhortation to those who need it. Because we all need it. We all need encouragement and urging to help us to do more, to always obey God's word, and if we stray from the right path, to get back on. Tonight, maybe there's one here who's not a Christian. I want to offer you a word of exhortation. You need to obey the gospel. You need to do what's right. You need to repent and be baptized so that your sins can be forgiven, so that you can be a child of God. I assume you've thought about that in the past, but maybe tonight's the night that you say, you know what? I've been encouraged enough that I want to do that. May there be a child of God here who's unfaithful, and you need to be reconciled to God. You need to be restored. I want to encourage you and exhort you in every way I know how to make that change tonight. Maybe you've heard it so many times, but maybe tonight's the night that the word of exhortation has an impact on you. As you think about those things, I hope you'll consider your soul. And if we can help anyone in any way, we're ready to do that, as we'll stand and sing the invitation song.